This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, October 13th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We've talked a lot on this show about cyber attacks, so it probably comes as no surprise that the people who work in cybersecurity are getting burned out. But with the risk of a hack being so high and the number of cyber professionals lower than what's needed, it isn't like workers can just go lounge on a beach to recharge their batteries. So what can companies do to protect their systems and their overstretched cyber defenders? On today's show, WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter James Rundle joins us to explain the mental toll the constant threat of cyber attacks is taking on workers and what companies are doing to deal with it. That's after these headlines. More mainstream financial firms are getting into the crypto space. On Wednesday, Betterment, the biggest independent online financial advisor, launched customized crypto portfolios. The robo-advisor is partnering with the crypto exchange Gemini to offer four portfolios populated with tokens listed on the exchange. The move marks the latest financial firm looking to give clients direct access to cryptocurrencies. Companies are assessing the new U.S. export restrictions on semiconductors and chip-making equipment we told you about earlier this week. We report exclusively the Chinese state-owned memory chip maker Yangtze Memory Technologies is facing a freeze in support from key U.S. suppliers. Sources say the suppliers have paused their support of already installed equipment at YMTC's factory and are temporarily pulling out their staff based there. If the freeze is extended, YMTC and other buyers of U.S. chip-making tools could be cut off from upgrades, maintenance, and future technology they need to develop chips. YMTC didn't respond to requests for comment. Meanwhile, South Korean memory chip maker SK Hynix became the first company to publicly acknowledge receiving an exemption to the new U.S. chip export rules. The rules extend to foreign-based companies that use U.S. technology, but the reprieve is a sign of Washington's willingness to help minimize potential disruptions to global semiconductor production. Private equity firm Vista Equity says it struck a deal to purchase cybersecurity provider KnowBe4 for $4.6 billion. Under the terms of the deal, KnowBe4 shareholders would receive $24.90 a share in cash, a nearly 40% premium to the closing price before the announcement. Leveraged buyouts like this have become rarer as financing for them has become harder to secure. And Russian-speaking hacking groups are using low-level cyber attacks that don't damage operations, but cause confusion and headaches for companies. For example, the group Killnet took credit for denial-of-service attacks on several U.S. airports earlier this week, including New York City's LaGuardia, Los Angeles International, and Chicago O'Hare. WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter Catherine Stupp has more.
These denial of service attacks are just a way for hackers to get attention. It grabs headlines. It makes people think, oh, an airport is under attack, when really it is an attack on the website. And it's generally nothing more than that. The airports that I've talked to have said, we were able to handle this pretty quickly and we're investigating it, but there hasn't been any other major effect in any way.
While these attacks have limited impact, they do still require companies to expend resources dealing with them. That can put pressure on already overworked cybersecurity professionals. We'll discuss the burnout these workers are facing after the break.
This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
If your job involves responding to crises, you might expect to work nights, weekends, holidays. And that's been the situation for many cybersecurity incident responders. As the number of hacks worldwide has gone up, so has their workload. To a point where, according to a recent survey from IBM, over two-thirds of these workers report being assigned two or more incidents to respond to at once. So what does all this mean for an industry that's crucial to protecting modern businesses? And how can companies protect these overstretched workers? Joining us to discuss that is WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter James Rundle. Hi, James.
Hi, Zoe. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I wonder if you can start by kind of giving us a sense of the way work has changed for the cybersecurity professionals over, you know, just the last few years.
Yeah, there's been a significant change for every type of cybersecurity professional, but particularly incident responders. Obviously, cyber attacks have grown significantly in the past few years, both as a result of the world becoming more networked, particularly during the pandemic, but also advances in technology on the part of the criminals as well. So really, they're finding themselves dealing with a massive influx of attacks against companies of all stripes and all sizes, government agencies, public bodies, and coming from all angles as well, criminals, nation states, and everything in between.
From the people that you spoke with, I mean, what kinds of symptoms of overwork or stress did they describe having to deal with? What was their day like?
Overloaded, I think, in a word, from a lot of people I spoke to. A lot of people are working multiple jobs simultaneously, and that's a change from the past few years as well. You know, previously this was a job where you would go in person to a company when it was attacked, and you'd be on site for days or even weeks at a time, so you could only focus on one client. With the pandemic, that meant everyone obviously was working from home, so for incident responders, it meant they could juggle more jobs at the same time. I spoke to one person who said that he would sign on a Zoom call for one job first thing in the morning, move on to the next one, move on to the next one, then throughout the day, just shift between them as necessary. It's been a significant increase in their workload, and that comes with what you would expect from that as well. Symptoms of burnout, a lot of them described. A lot of them feel anxiety. Some say that it's affecting their personal lives. IBM did some research specifically around this area, and they said that around two-thirds of people they surveyed said they'd sought some kind of assistance for their mental well-being recently, just due to the level of work and the stress that's involved in that work as well.
What can the companies do from their perspective to help address this problem? Because it doesn't sound like the incidents of cyber attacks are really going away.
They're not. And companies are aware of this. I have to say, everyone that I spoke to in a senior role for this story was acutely aware of the stress that their employees are under because they've done it themselves. I mean, this isn't a career where you kind of go in at the senior level without working in the trenches. So they've experienced it and they understand that there are immense pressures on their employees. I spoke to one fellow at Salesforce who said that they give one Friday a month off just for mental well-being for their employees. A lot of them have rules about how many engagements their incident responders can work on back-to-back. At IBM, for instance, no more than two. And a lot of them talked about just communicating with their staff, checking in with them, making sure that they are taking care of themselves, that they are managing their stress properly. And you know, some things are unavoidable in this job. Cyber attacks generally happen on holidays, they happen on weekends at inconvenient times, and these guys are expected to respond. But for a lot of them, they just said it's a balancing act. And I think from the incident responders' perspective, that IBM researcher mentioned, around well over three quarters said that they felt supported by their company, which is a positive sign.
I mean, that does at least sound really positive. I wonder, though, is this something where the companies that are being attacked should have been putting in more cyber defenses so that we don't see as many incidents needing to be responded to?
100%. And that was a common thread from people I spoke to about this work. They just said they go in to respond to these incidents, and often the work they have to do is complicated by the fact that the company didn't have basic protections in place. And this is a line you keep hearing repeated by the Department of Homeland Security, by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, by anyone who really responds to this, saying that if you do put basic protections in place and you make the effort now, then it will honestly prevent a lot of cyber attacks. And then if it doesn't, then it'll at least reduce the time taken to recover. And it'll also reduce the burden on your incident responders and the cost to you as well. I mean, a lot of them said that at their engagements, the first thing they often have to do is an education exercise to explain just what has been going on to executives who don't know about cybersecurity.
So let's talk about this problem then moving forward. Is there a way, apart from beefing up their own cybersecurity, that companies can deal with this to help prevent the burnout from happening in the first place?
I think so. One of the main problems really is a lack of people who are available to do these jobs. The talent shortage in cybersecurity has been pretty well documented by us and others. You know, depending on what statistics you look at, there are over 800,000 unfilled positions in the US right now, over 2 million worldwide. So a lot of effort has to go into building this pipeline of professionals who can come in, who can staff up these companies. So you're not just relying on a group of people just to do, you know, increasing amounts of work all the time. And there are efforts underway. The White House held a summit earlier this year on ways in which the workforce can be developed. A lot of private companies are putting initiatives in place to partner with universities, with schools, and to train internally to try and get these numbers up and make sure that we have a competitive, stable, and continuing workforce that we can grow.
All right, that was the WSJ's cybersecurity pro reporter, James Rundle. Thanks for breaking this down for us, James.
No problem.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I'm Paul Gigot, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.